Now, the part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on, great chapter, a lot of great things. It's filled with great sermons. But the part that I wanted to focus on this morning is beginning in verse number 19, where the Bible reads, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." And what I want to preach about this morning is the subject of gimmicks. Now, everybody knows what a gimmick is, and especially this time of year, you probably hear about a lot of gimmicks, and a lot of gimmicks are coming out because people buy each other gimmicks for Christmas as a present, and people get all kind of gimmicks for the new year. And what is a gimmick? Well, if you think about it, a gimmick is something that people buy or something that people try in order to find a shortcut to doing things the hard way or doing things the real way. So they get some kind of a gimmick as a shortcut or just an easier way to beat the system or whatever you want to call it. Now, the Bible here is talking about a man that is hasty to be rich in verse 20 versus the man that tilleth his land in verse 19. The illustration here is between one who is steadily working hard, doing something that has profit, tilling his land, and the guy who's just in a hurry to get rich, he's just trying some scheme, some scam. Now, there are words in the Bible associated with this concept. The word that's associated with the one who's doing things the right way is the word diligence. Another word that's associated with that is what we see in verse 20, faithfulness. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And so we see diligence and faithfulness on one side of the equation. And then on the other side, we have the one who's hasty. He's in a hurry to be rich. He doesn't do things the right way. He's looking for a quick way to make money, or he's looking for a quick way to do whatever. Let's look at some other scriptures on this. Flip back a few pages to chapter 22, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. The Bible reads in verse 29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Go back one more page to Proverbs 21, verse number 5. The Bible reads in Proverbs 21:5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." So you see, the opposite of diligence is hastiness. Diligence is when you have the patience to keep working at something, doing it the right way, getting it done properly, not just in a hurry to get it done. He says, diligence equals plenteousness. Hastiness is going to lead to want. Verse 6, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue." These are your gimmicks, your infomercial gimmicks, lying to you, telling you, hey, it's really easy. You don't have to work hard to make money. Just follow our simple steps and you're going to make all kinds of money. You know, out of your apartment, you're going to be making $10,000 a month and $20,000 a month from home without only working more than 2 hours a day or whatever. He says in verse 7, "The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." Look at go back to chapter 10. So it's important that our work be right. That we don't be hasty to be rich, but that we're diligent in our business or in our labors. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible reads, "The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish." Famish is like the word famine. It means you're hungry, you're starving. He says, "The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." Substance meaning their money, their goods. He says, "He becometh poor," verse 4, "that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Verse 5, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." You see this concept repeated over and over again in the book of Proverbs, don't you? The diligent versus the hasty. He says in verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." A slack hand. Think about this. I want to illustrate this for you. In my business, and you know, we all have different trades and different business we're in. We've got, you know, somebody who's a computer programmer, we got a plumber, electrician, you know, all different types of jobs, very different type of jobs represented in our church, different types of people that do different types of things. But you know, if you think of a slack hand, what does it mean, for example, if you're pulling wire or pulling rope and it's there's a slackening, what does that mean?
Loose,
right? It means it goes loose. Yeah, it could be extra that's just loose hanging there. It's the opposite of being tight or taut. Something is slackened or it's slack when it's loosened up. So he's talking about basically a slack hand. He's talking about people that aren't working very hard. You know, they're loosened up. They're not holding on tightly to something. You know, it reminds me of often when you're working, you'll have somebody and you'll say, you know, hold this up. And then you'd say you have to pour concrete around or, you know, you have to do something. But you have people, hey, hold this. And I remember my dad used to have this job for me, and I hated this job more than anything. And this makes me think of a slack hand. This was the thing I hated more than anything growing up. Sorry, Dad. But he was working on his motorcycle, and I still don't know what this means to this day. But my dad is this... He's just really into motorcycles, and he's very good at riding motorcycles. And he would have his dirt bike just so dialed in. You know, in his words, it was all tricked out, okay? And he would have his motorcycle just totally dialed in to where it was just the fastest motor, and he'd drag race people all the time, and hill climb and everything, and it had to be just right. And he had this thing that he would do in the motorcycle, and I still don't know what it means, but it was called, he would set the sag on his dirt bike. Does anybody know what that means? Okay, Chris Broden knows. One person knows. Anyway, he would set the sag, and it was something that would take a really long time. And my dad at this time was a little bit heavier than he is now. I mean, he wasn't huge, but he was a lot heavier than he is right now, for those of you who know my dad. And he was sitting on the dirt bike, and I, as a child, would have to hold up the dirt bike, okay, and keep it from tipping over. I would have to hold the dirt bike while this 200-and-some-odd man is on the bike, and he's bouncing up and down and everything. And I had to hold this thing up. And let me tell you something. I wasn't dealing with a slack hand. I mean, I would be holding this thing. And I mean, I'm shaking. My face is turning red. Sweat's coming off. You know, I'm just trying to hold it. And he's like, if you find that balance point, it won't tip over. And, you know, it won't take a lot of strength. He's like, if you get off balance, it's going to take a lot of strength. And I remember just holding it, and he'd be mad. He'd get angry if it started to tip. You know. You know, and you think of other people just, at their job. You know, or sometimes I remember I'll pull cable at my job. I'm an electrician, so I'm using stuff from my own life. But at my job as an electrician, you pull wire a lot, okay? And when you're pulling wire, a lot of times you have one guy who's feeding you the wire. And then another guy who's pulling the wire forward. And what will happen is, the guy who's pulling the wire, sometimes he has to do something else, and so there's a little break, and the guy who's feeding the wire begins to slack, and he starts looking. And then you're pulling it, and it's not coming, and, hey, wake up! You know, I'm trying to pull this wire. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Sosi? You know, the guy starts slacking. Okay? And when you're pulling the wire for hours and hours, it's a very tiring job. Now, if somebody's feeding it to you properly, you know, you're not having to pull as hard. But when you keep running into resistance because the guy is slacking on the job, then it makes you a lot more tired. You're having to work a lot. Hey, you know, wake up, buddy. And so this is what the Bible is talking about here. The slack hand. People who go to their job and they loaf around. They're slow. They don't work hard. This should not be what a Christian is on the job. The biggest slacker on the job. Sitting around, fooling around, yawning all day, hands in your pockets all day. You know, you're supposed to be working hard, serious about the job. And look what it says. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's not even saying he makes himself rich. He makes others rich. He makes the boss rich. He makes the company rich because he's working hard. He's doing a good job for his employer and for the business that he works in. It says in verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Somebody who's early to get the work done. Not putting everything off till later. Not procrastinating. But in summer, when the harvest is just ripe, he's out there. He's working. He's bringing in the harvest. He's gathering in the increase. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You want your children to grow up and you be ashamed of them? Don't teach them how to work hard. Because you'll be proud of your children if they grow up knowing how to work hard. Whether they be male or female. Because women work hard in this world too. If you, and I'm not saying they should be out you know, running businesses and so forth. But, you know, my wife works hard as a homemaker and as a wife and as a mother. I mean, everybody in this world works. You know, and that, she works more hours than I do a lot of time. I mean, she works hard. And so the Bible's talking about working hard here. Look at go to chapter 12, just a few pages to the right. I mean, the Bible talks about this a lot. Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to get more into the gimmicks in a little while, but I'm just showing you the opposite of the gimmick right now. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. That's the guy that they're going to make the manager. That's the guy who's going to be a supervisor. The guy who's working hard. The guy who has a diligent hand. But the slothful shall be under tribute. Basically, you're paying taxes, is what that's saying. You know, we all pay taxes, but whatever. You know, this was written in a different time. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. What does it mean, the substance of a diligent man is precious? Basically, have you ever heard this saying, easy come, easy go? People who get money and it's just handed to them for free, or it's just really easy for them to get money, you know, often they don't have a lot of respect for money. And so they blow money because they don't really have a lot of respect for where it came from. But the hand of the diligent, the guy who worked hard and really put in a lot of hours to make that money, he appreciates the value of it because he knows the hard work that went into him. Because he didn't have everything just handed to him his whole life. He's been diligent, and his substance is precious to him. The slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting. I mean, he'll go out and you know, he'll hunt an animal, and he won't even cook all the food. He won't even preserve it. He won't even get it in the fridge or the freezer. He won't even get it salted and hung up and smoked. He just wastes things. He's very wasteful because he doesn't appreciate the value of money and substance because he didn't work hard for it and be diligent. Now, there's something else involved in being, and I have some more scriptures on being diligent, but you get the idea. There's something else involved in diligence too, besides just working hard and not being a slacker. It also involves having the patience and taking the time to do things right. Because if you remember, the opposite of being diligent was what? It starts with an H? Being hasty. Now, some people that are lazy or slothful, as we see the word over and over again, because they're lazy, they're in a hurry to just get stuff done so that they can relax and rest and slack. Diligence is when you take the time to do things right the first time. And you know, when you do things right the first time, you usually end up saving more time because you waste a lot of time when you do things wrong. You know, when you're in a hurry and you just throw things together, then you got to go back and fix it and figure out where the problem is. Especially when you're doing electrical work or something like that, you know, you'll get the whole thing done and then something doesn't work and then you got to go hunting and troubleshooting and take days to do that. Or you can just be really careful, diligent the first time to do it properly, to work hard, not to do a sloppy job, not to be... You say, why are you preaching on this? Look, this is important doctrine that you need to learn. I mean, how are you going to make it in this world, men, if you don't know how to work hard and be diligent and not be a slacker? And succeed at your job and make the money that you need to make to live and learn how to be diligent. But this carries over spiritually too. Even if it didn't, even if I was just preaching about your job, even if I were just preaching to the ladies about your jobs and your homemaking and whatever you do with your life, whether you go to work or whether you're working in the home or whatever you're doing, even if I were just talking about that, this would be a very valuable sermon that you should let it sink down into your ears and live by it. But you see, people that are slothful in their labor, people who are hasty, sloppy, they're not diligent, they do things poorly, that's going to carry over into other areas of your life. It's also going to carry over spiritually. You know, I think of plumbing. I've learned a lot about plumbing ever since I moved into a house that's like 60 years old. And the plumbing is all galvanized, and it's all leaking. And I mean, I've literally probably had 15 plumbing problems in the last 6 years. Sometimes I've fixed it myself. Sometimes Brother Jerry has bailed me out. Actually, a lot of times he's bailed me out. And then sometimes I've had to call a plumber out different times. And I've learned a lot about plumbing. I'm finally getting to the point where I can fix things myself. You know, and yesterday I replaced a couple of hose bibs all by myself, Jerry. I didn't even call you. Okay? So, you know, I'm learning a lot about plumbing. And let me tell you what I've learned about plumbing. Because Jerry has taught me a lot, and I finally am getting it down. Diligence is important. Because I tell you what, if you don't do everything perfect, that water is just looking for a way out. That water is just out to get you. And like, you know, you'll get everything done. Yeah, man, I'm finally getting this done. And it's like drip, drip. It's dripping. And you got to take it all apart, and then you got to do it all again. You know, you have got to be careful to do it perfectly. It has to be perfect the first time, and then it won't leak. But if there's any imperfection, if it's not perfect, it will leak. And so diligence is important when it comes to plumbing. But how does this apply spiritually? Well, go to Isaiah chapter 28. Because we're going to talk about gimmicks today. And you know, both literal physical gimmicks and also spiritual gimmicks. What is a gimmick? Well, like I said, a gimmick is somebody who's telling you, hey, there's a really quick, easy way, and it's no work at all, and it's a piece of cake. And like I said, this time of year, gimmicks abound. What's a gimmick? It's that aisle at the store that's called As Seen on TV aisle. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and I don't want to criticize any specific businesses, but I might criticize a few. But anyway, you know, you go to the As Seen on TV aisle. And often now, I've noticed that in the stores, and a lot of stores I've been in, they actually set up the TV screens on the rack. Who's seen this? And they'll set up a TV screen, and then they'll have all the product. And you can just walk by, and the infomercial's playing. And instead of sending in your easy payments, you just buy it right there off the shelf. And it's underneath the infomercial. And I'll be walking by, and man, on the infomercial, it looks great. I mean, it's perfect. You know, it's a let's say it's a blender. They're putting in like screws and nuts and bolts, and it's, you know, it's turning them into powder. Look at this, you know, they pull. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but anyway, I didn't see that one. But what I did see, the one with the kitchen knives, they're cutting pipes with it. Who's seen that? You know, they're yeah, all the hands are going up. You know, they take like a copper pipe and they're slicing it. Look at this, it's great, and everything just looks like it's going to be great. Now, I'm sure a few of those products really work. Maybe you've had some good experiences. But guess what? A lot of it doesn't work out that way. It's a gimmick. You know, it looks so cool, and it looks like it's going to do everything that you want it to do. And really, they're just sometimes there is no easy way to do things. Sometimes you just have to do things the hard way and be diligent about it. And you can't always be looking for the shortcut and the gimmick and so forth. Go to Isaiah 28. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. The Bible reads in verse 7, "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink." So this is talking about the preachers and the men of God. It says they've erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. That's the result of all the wine and strong drink, of course. And that says in verse 9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept." Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You see, there's no shortcut to the Christian life. There's no gimmick to spiritual growth and spiritual understanding. You see, if you're going to learn the Bible, it's not just a thing where, you know, we'll make you into a great Christian, you know, in a week, or your money back guaranteed. You know, 30-day trial of faith. Try Faithful Word Baptist Church for 30 days, and if you're not fully satisfied, all your tithes and offerings will be returned unto you. You know, it doesn't work that way, okay? Because spiritual growth and spiritual understanding and biblical knowledge comes in small doses. It's here a little, it's there a little. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's a baby or a baby in Christ or a young child in Christ growing slowly and learning over time knowledge, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no overnight, and you'll hear people talk about this, how they're just this living this horrible, wicked life, and then just, they went to this one service, and they came down the aisle, and then just, boom, they never, you know, drank or smoked or did drugs, and they lived a perfect life, or close to it, you know. I mean, of course they weren't without sin, but, you know, pretty close to it compared to the way they were before. Let me tell you, I've never seen that in my life. I mean, I've heard people talk about it. I've never seen it. I don't believe it exists. I don't believe it's out there. Because you've got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Not that you're going to be perfect the next day. Not that you're going to be fully mature, fully grown, fully established the next day. No, it's a growth process that takes time. It's not going to happen in one service. It's not even going to happen in 1 year. Okay? Now, you may grow faster if you're in a good church. You're growing fast. You got good spiritual friends. You're growing fast. You're reading your Bible every day in large amounts. You're going to grow faster. But I don't know about you. It took me a long time to get to the place I'm at right now. And it's going to take me a lot longer to get to where I need to be. And it was never a quick fix or a quick growth. It was line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little bit on Sunday morning, little bit on Sunday night, little bit on Wednesday night. I went to church for years and years and years. I went soul winning for years and years and years. I preached for years and years and years. And people think that they can just come in and just boom, and then they're discouraged when they don't get there. Well, it's not a gimmick, folks. This isn't as seen on TV. If you've seen me on TV, you know, well, it probably wasn't positive, okay? It might have been as seen on TV, but anyway, you know, it definitely wasn't advertising us on TV. So, you know, this is not a gimmick. And this is what people are used to. Something easy. A way to learn the Bible without reading the Bible. You know, put it under your pillow at night and you're going to know everything about the Bible. Look, it's not going to work. It's not going to work in any area of life. But it's dead sure not going to work for you spiritually. Now, there's this commercial that I hate. And I don't have a TV, I don't watch TV, but I hear this on the radio from time to time. And I hear this commercial, and it's for this company called Rosetta Stone. Okay? Now, look, I'm not trying to just rip on an individual company here, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Just because this commercial irritates me. And I have a right to say what irritates me. And this commercial makes me mad. Now, as someone who loves foreign languages, and I've studied many foreign languages, and I've taught myself, I've been in classrooms and learned foreign languages, and I've also taught myself several foreign languages, to the point where I was able to speak that language. I mean, I was able I go soul winning every week, and I speak Spanish, and I win people to the Lord in the Spanish language. My wife and I speak German, and I was speaking German to my father-in-law this morning for a couple minutes on the telephone. And so, you know, I'm able to speak German, I'm able to speak Spanish, and several other languages that I've learned and been able to speak and so forth. It's not easy to learn a foreign language. It's very difficult. And it takes diligence. You know, you might get excited at the beginning, and, oh yeah, this is great. But in order to really follow through with it, and to really learn the language, it takes a lot of work, and a lot of diligence, and a lot of motivation, because the newness wears off. At first it's fun and cool, and then it gets boring. You got to just keep plowing through it, keep working at it. Very, very difficult. And there's this commercial, you know, Rosetta Stone. It's this very expensive product. I mean, it's like $600 or whatever, $700. And people love to spend money on gimmicks. They love to spend a ton of money, and they think that that's going to solve it all, you know. And this thing says, oh, it's so easy. They said, you will learn a foreign language with no memorization. How does that work? Do you know? Are you tired of all that useless memorization? Yeah, that's really useless. Memorizing words in a foreign language, that's useless. Well, how else are you going to learn it if you don't remember what the word means? Isn't that what memorize means? Learn what something means? Oh, it's just so easy. And here's what they say. It's so easy, it's the same way you learned your first language. You know, it's like, can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? What? You know, I'm like Nicodemus listening to this commercial. It's the same as learning your first language. Now, I don't know about you. my first language. This one's so stupid, like, oh, it's so easy. It's just like you learned your first language. No drills, no memorization, no work. It's so easy. There's no way. So they say, try the free trial. I tried the free trial, you know. So I just went online and did a little free trial. And, you know, I went through it, and it's just, you know, you can go through it and play their stupid little games. And, it works. But guess what? Go through it again, and you don't remember anything unless you actually make a point to memorize this stuff, especially if you use a hard language. I mean, if you try it on some easy language that you already knew half of, go on there for Russian. You know what I mean? Go on there for Japanese and then just blow through it one time. No, you're going to have to go through it again and again and again and again. And then you're going to be like, I need to memorize this. And that's what you're going to end up doing. Useless memorization. It's a total gimmick. Okay? And they say, oh, it's so easy. You know how long it takes you to learn your first language? Oh, it's just like you learned your first language. Okay. You know, when you're 1 year old, how many words did you really know? I hope I know more than that after studying a foreign language for 1 year. I want to talk better than a one-year-old, okay? And let me tell you something. When I've studied a foreign language for 2 years, I want to talk better than a two-year-old. Because a child who's 2 years old can't speak that well, okay? And you know, it takes until they're 3 and 4, and they're still not speaking it properly. It takes a really long time to learn your first language, and you're doing it all day long. That's all you're doing, the whole day. So maybe that's not the best way to learn if it takes you your whole childhood. You know what I mean? It takes you, or to be able to converse pretty fluently, it's still going to take several years of doing it all day long, nonstop. You want to stare at the computer screen that long? Because I sure don't, of Rosetta Stone. But why do people love Rosetta Stone? Because it costs a lot of money, that's why. Because people think, oh, this costs a lot of money. This must be good. You know, I'm going to learn this language. If I can just get this $600 together, I will be speaking Russian and it's going to be perfect. Okay? They think that they can just do it an easy way. Just pay a bunch of money and somebody's going to do it all for them. No, it's hard work. You can pick up a book with white paper and black ink or a CD that costs you $20 or whatever. I don't care. And look, I'm not saying Rosetta Stone is a bad product. I'm sure you can learn a foreign language on Rosetta Stone, but it's still going to take a ton of work and a ton of memorization, just like any. And if you like to stare at computer screens, I don't. I'd rather stare at a book than a computer screen. But either way, you're going to work hard. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's a horrible product. I'm saying it's going to take a lot of work, and they're lying on the commercial because people are just prone to believe in gimmicks and just an easy way. You think about the gimmick diets that people get on. You know, this gimmick diet and, oh yeah, it's just so easy. You just drink this shake or whatever. You know, you got to order this special shake from them. And I heard a commercial on the radio. They said this is the equivalent. If you drink this shake, it's the equivalent of going to the gym for 1 hour every day. And this guy's on the radio and he's saying, go to the gym every day for an hour. That's ridiculous, man. Just drink this shake. The weight's going to fall right off. I mean, what's in it? A tapeworm? And so it's ridiculous. I mean, they literally are saying that if you drink this shake, that's the equivalent of going to the gym for an hour a day. Do you believe that? No. Now listen, going to the gym for an hour a day sounds like a lot of hard work. You're probably going to get a lot of results if you do that. You're not going to get a lot of results from drinking some shake. You know, you're going to make somebody a lot of money, and you're going to drink the shake, and you're going to think that you're doing something great and whatever. But that's what I mean by a gimmick. Does everybody see what I'm saying about gimmicks? You know, it's really easy. You know what? Working out? Forget that. Just drink this shake. You know, that's all you need. You know, I'm in the airplane a lot, or I used to be. I haven't flown in years ever since the TSA started their whole grope down. But back when I used to be flying every single week, I would go to the airport and they'd have the in-flight magazine. And sometimes I'd be so bored after flying hundreds of flights a year, you know, I'd finally break down and start to leaf through that magazine after I'd gone through my Bible and every book and every other fun thing. I'd solved the Rubik's Cube like 20,000 times. So I get out the in-flight magazine, I'm looking through it, and they have this exercise machine. It's like $14,000 for this exercise machine. It was something, and it was weird because they give the price, and it's like, it was a really weird price. It was like $13,254.92 or something. It literally was something like that. It had a really odd number of even cents. And that's just real big on top of that. That the price is just huge. Just, it doesn't even say what it is. Just $12,354.92. And then it explains to you how if you exercise on this thing for 4 minutes a day, 4 minutes, it's the equivalent of 20 minutes of cardio, 20 minutes of weightlifting, 20 minutes of stretching, and I'm not kidding, it lists like an hour and 15 of stuff. And they're saying, you won't believe it, but the free trial, the money back guarantee, 4 minutes will do all of that. But you got to shell out 13 grand. You know, that's the only bottom. It's a gimmick. I don't believe in it. I'm sorry. It's not going to work. You can't do it in 4 minutes what you could do in an hour and a half. Now, some things, yeah, there are ways to do things smarter, things that could speed up a process. But certain things, come on. It's going to take work. It's going to take diligence. You can't just be hasty and think that there's just such an easy way to do everything. Sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves and work hard at something in order to achieve a certain goal. And I don't like gimmicks. That's why I'm preaching against gimmicks this morning. I don't like, and especially I don't like gimmicks spiritually. You know, spiritual gimmicks. Everybody's got this gimmick. Like, oh, if you just read this book by Brother So-and-so, how to explode your church in growth, and you know, in 6 months your church will be triple the size. And you've been doing it wrong all these years, Pastor Aaron, saying you don't know what you're doing, and you know, you just need to read this book. Now look, I just don't believe it, because if I'm going to sit there and read my Bible and pray and go soul winning, and the people in my church are reading their Bible and praying and going soul winning and cleaning up their lives and loving God and doing what they're supposed to do, that's how the church is going to grow. And let me tell you something, it's hard for a church to grow. That's why a lot of churches are getting smaller. And by the way, our church is never getting smaller. Our church has been consistently, continually growing. It had to grow when we started because there was nobody there. I mean, the first we started the first service, we had 9 people. You know, I mean, it was just my family and 4 visitors. So we started from nothing. And it is consistently every year growing. Now, has it been just explosive growth? Were we on the cover of a magazine saying, this is the fastest growing church in America? No. No, it wasn't. But it's consistent, real, bona fide growth. Why? Because we're just working hard, serving God, preaching the Bible, being instant in season, out of season, knocking doors, you know, preaching holiness, preaching righteousness, preaching the Word of God, you know, doing the best we can, and our church is all in one accord, unified, and we're growing, we're succeeding, we're thriving. But it's not some kind of a, you know, and I keep waiting for the church to take off, and it just never does. And I keep saying, you know, I think it's about to really take off in size, and it never does. But you know what, it doesn't matter if it does, because it keeps growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, and years and years from now, it'll be way bigger. But it's a slow growth. It's consistent. It's real. It's not something where just, you know, if we could just find this gimmick, you know. No, and it's the same thing in your life. There's no gimmick to make you a great Christian. It's got to be just daily. Go to Deuteronomy, or actually go to Joshua 22. Joshua chapter 22 in the Old Testament. You see, for you to grow as a Christian, it's going to be consistent, hard work, diligence, and faithfulness that makes you grow. You know what's going to make you grow? Coming to church 3 times a week, reading your Bible every day, you're going to grow and grow and grow. And I've noticed a lot of people sometimes, they get real excited about church, and they get in here, and they get all fired up, and they go nuts with it for a couple months, and then they fall away. They're not diligent. They're hasty. They want it all now. They don't have the patience to continually come to church, read their Bible, and to think in terms of decades, not in terms of weeks or even months, to think in years and decades, okay, when they think of their Christian life, and to get a bigger picture, and to get in it, not a 30-day trial of Faithful Word. Because if you try a 30-day trial of Faithful Word, you're going to want your money back. And sorry, I'm not giving you a refund, you know. And the thing is, if you get into it with that attitude, anything of the things of God, it's not going to work out. You've got to get into it with an attitude of, hey, I'm buying a lifetime supply here. You know, I am signing up for the season pass and for the out-of-season pass. You know, instant in-season and out-of-season. Okay? And you've got to be in it for the long haul. Look at Joshua 22, verse 5. The Bible reads, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." There you go. That's it. No gimmick. Diligently every day, go back to chapter 1 of Joshua. Diligently every day, taking heed, doing the work that he told you to do, loving him, serving him, obeying him. It's that simple. I don't have some magical truth that I can preach to you this morning, some gimmick sermon that's just going to turn your whole life around. It's not out there. What's going to turn your life around is what I just read to you in Joshua 22. And some of you are probably scratching your head saying, well, what does that verse even teach? It teaches everything that you need to know in your whole life. That's what it teaches. If you would obey that verse, you're done. But it'll go right over your head. Wait, where's the gimmick? What do I do? Well, just read the Bible. Just obey what it says. Just come to church. Just sing the hymns. Just memorize verses. Well, that's not cute. That's not a gimmick. That's not the cool new thing. But it's what works. It's the only thing that works. And is it easy? Is it going to be really easy and fast? No, it's going to be hard and slow. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be frustrating. And that's why you have to be steadfast and unmovable. You have to have patience and diligence to be a Christian and to serve God. Look at verse 8. This book, chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So how are you going to prosper and have success? Well, it's real easy, right? Just meditate on God's word day and night. That's not easy. That's really hard. That's extremely hard. And that's what it takes to succeed. Now, is it complicated to succeed? It's not complicated. It's just really hard. It's not complicated to dig a hole in the ground. It's just really hard work. You know, you just got to work for a long time and keep doing the same thing over and over. There's nothing complicated about it. It's just hard. It just takes a lot of work. That's what it's like serving God. That's what it's like to succeed. You've got to be diligent. You've got to stay at it. Go, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Back a few pages to the left in your Bible. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Everybody's looking for the easy way, the quick way, the fast way, you know. Be a great Christian in 90 days. No, it's going to take 90 years. It's going to take 90 months. It's going to take a long time. Look at Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." Now, here's the gimmick that's found in verse 19 for you, okay? You looking for a gimmick? This is going to revolutionize your Bible reading. You've been struggling in the past to read your Bible every day? Who's struggled with that, reading your Bible every day? Probably every hand could go up, if you're honest. You know, you struggle at time to time reading it every day. This verse contains the gimmick that you'll never struggle with that again. It's in the first words there. "It shall be with him." There it is, folks. If you have the Bible with you, you're more likely to read it. Take it with you everywhere you go. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your lunchbox. Strap it to your body. Do whatever you need to do. Put it in the car. Buy a big stack of Bibles. Put one in all the rooms of the house. And hey, you know what? Somebody told me, they said, you know what revolutionized my Bible reading, Pastor Anderson? Revolutionize. I'm like, well, what is it? What's the gimmick? You know, he said this. Somebody told me this. I'll not say any names, but he said this revolutionized my Bible. He said, "I'm reading my Bible more than I've ever read it." I'm getting more out of it. I'm learning it. He said, I've never read my Bible like this in my whole life. He said, I just realized that instead of magazines on the toilet, I just switched it out for a Bible in the bathroom. Just set a Bible back there. And he said, I'm reading more Bible than I've ever read. That's the closest thing that you're going to get to a gimmick out of me. And it's true. I mean, this is one thing that's true. Having it with you, having it in every room of the house, having it on the coffee table, having it in the car, having it in the lunchbox, having it on your phone, you know, in an electronic format, you know, having it everywhere you go, that's... Are you calling me a gimmick? You know, it ain't getting the Bible on CD, you know, just having it with you everywhere you go, but you still have to read it. I mean, it's still going to be work. But I think this is the key. If somebody just said, what is the key to Bible reading? I think it's the first words there. It shall be with him. That's the biggest tip right there. That's my biggest tip on Bible reading. Keep it with you. What's your second tip? Read it. What's your third tip? Don't read it with a bunch of other gimmicks. Put away all your little gimmicks. Your little Bible devotional booklet study teen encouragement extreme cliff jumper version. You know these versions that they have at the store? It's like a kid jumping off a cliff with a skateboard. The extreme study Bible. You know, he's like jumping off the cliff. You can't read your Bible like that. He's like skydiving while reading it. Damn, extreme. You know what would be extreme is if you just sit down and shut up and read it for a couple hours. Do some extreme Bible reading. Yeah. You know. I'm going to sit down and read it for hours. Yeah. That's extreme. But no, you know, and you get these study Bibles, and half the page is not even God's Word. You open the Bible, and it's like, God's Word stops here. And guess what? The bottom part with all the notes, it looks a lot cooler than what's at the top. It's got pictures and diagrams and graphs and charts. And you're like, oh, man, you get all into that. You don't even do that much Bible reading. I'll tell you right now, the best Bible you could get is the one that's just plain.
Right. Yep.
I mean, this is as radical as I get. You know, where it says at the top of the page, like, the three yearly feasts. That's already too much information. I'll read that. I'll figure that out myself. I can count to three. You know what I mean? I can figure out those three. You know, David prayeth for help. Oh, really? You know, I mean, obviously, I can read it myself. That's already too much for me. But I'll put up with that because you can't even hardly find a Bible that's this plain. But this is the best I can find. I like this Bible because it just has very little. You know, the whole page is just like Jerusalem upbraided. You know, okay, Jesus is upbraiding Jerusalem. So what I'm saying is that you need to read the Bible. It's hard work. It takes attention. It takes diligence. It takes patience. And you need to put aside the gimmicks. Once I got the women's study Bible, now I can read it so much better and understand it. Now that I have the cross-reference version for, you know, Chinese women in their 40s, you know, this Bible is specifically designed for me. Like, just get a Bible. It's the same for everybody. Not some gimmick version. Just get a Bible, King James version, get as plain as possible. Tear out the picture in the front of the long-haired Jesus. Tear out the map in the back that shows them crossing the Red Sea, like on dry land, except the whole thing's dry land because they're not even in the Red Sea. And just read the words of God. Read the Bible. Keep it simple. Study it. Keep it with you. Take it with you everywhere you go. That's your gimmick, folks. And I'll finish up with this. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. And look, maybe I might even be saving you some money right now, you know? So you don't go out and buy a bunch of stupid gimmicks for weight, you know, for fitness or dieting or I don't know. Some rag that just wipes everything, you know, wipes the paint right off your car or whatever. Or, you know, look at this thing, it's amazing! You know, you put this little soap in the washer, and you can put stuff in there that's been stained for years and it's covered in dirt. You know, what kind of a weird chemical is that? I mean, if it can really do that, you know, the guy who's he's like stirring it in ice water and it comes out like perfectly clean. What kind of an acid are you putting? I wouldn't want that stuff anywhere near my body. And so, you know, it's probably just going to take a lot of soap and warm water and just a lot of work to clean off those clothes. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Simple, but difficult to do. Hard work. That's what it is to be a believer, to be a saint, to live the Christian life. It's just work hard, stay at it, don't turn to the right hand or the left, go straight ahead, consistency, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, reading your Bible every day, praying, growing, soul winning, consistently out soul winning, this is what it takes. And there's no gimmick, there's no easy, quick fix. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God, and thank you for the fact that